Welcome to the NPN podcast. Joining me this week is Hans Royal, the Senior Director of Renewable Energy and Carbon Advisory for Schneider Electric Energy and Sustainability. Welcome to the program today, Hans.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
Great. So before we dive into some topics today, can you just walk through your job description there at Schneider?
Yeah, absolutely. So Schneider is a large company, does a lot of things. I'm privileged to help lead our renewable energy and carbon advisory practice. This group is part of our sustainability business unit, and we are fundamentally an advisor to our own company for decarbonization and sustainability, and also other large organizations across the world. So I specialize in helping clients transition to renewable energy specifically, as one of the tools in the toolkit towards decarbonization and achieving their sustainability goals. So I lead a few different teams here at Schneider. I run our help lead our power purchase agreement, PPA, and renewable energy division that helps companies with those types of structures. I lead our supply chain renewables initiative. If those folks might be familiar with programs like the Energize program or Catalyze, which are renewable energy accelerators for industries. I lead that team, and I also lead our tax credit investment practice, which we'll get into a bit on the pod today.
Great. Thanks for that. So just getting to starting with one of the fastest rising sources of load growth across the country today, and that's data centers. Was growing, and I think AI has kind of accelerated the trend quite a bit. But you know, what broader observations can you make today about how data center owners are procuring for renewable energy?
Yeah, so we've been helping data centers with renewable energy for many, many, many years. We've probably structured several thousand megawatts of power purchase agreements for data centers. And I would say, you know, data centers really have been some of the leading organizations in the renewable energy marketplace since really more than a decade ago. And that trend is not slowing down. Certainly, as you mentioned, the growth with artificial intelligence and otherwise is substantial. And these organizations have renewable energy and sustainability goals that are quite leading in the marketplace. And so as these data centers continue to grow significantly, they also need to procure lots and lots of renewables. They've been historically by far the largest purchasers of renewable electricity, and that's not going to stop. The challenge I think that they have is, how can you procure enough renewable electricity to match the unprecedented growth in their electric consumption over the next few years? It's a huge challenge that's going to really take all hands on deck approach in order to achieve it, which will include some of the more, quote, traditional mechanisms of procuring renewable electricity, such as power purchase agreements, direct power purchase agreements, virtual power purchase agreements, but also other structures, behind the meter solutions, small, medium-sized reactors, you know, nuclear, right? So any sort of carbon-free or low-carbon technology is going to be part of the puzzle. Fuel cells, right, et cetera, et cetera. So really on all hands on deck approach, but we're right in the mix helping them solve for that problem, which is quite a substantial one.
And that really speaks to the main challenge here, right? Getting clean energy 24/7 for these data center companies. Any interesting strategies you're hearing about, you know, what they're trying to do to get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different, you know, topics we can talk about regarding 24/7. First and foremost, data centers need reliable power, regardless of the source of power, whether it's renewable, whether it's non-renewable, and they need, you know, that power to be stable, and to have backup power and so on. So, and you know, many data centers have the goal and the objective to continue to have that power be low carbon and or renewable energy powered. So a big challenge is the fact that Many of the popular renewable energy technologies like wind and solar are intermittent, right? Sometimes the wind doesn't blow, sometimes the sun doesn't shine. But the grid actually itself does a pretty good job at balancing intermittency. And so there is a difference between essentially the 24/7 nature of physical power needs that these data centers have versus the procurement of renewable electricity. That's where, for example, a virtual power purchase agreement is a popular mechanism from a sustainability and a renewable energy perspective that helps a data center acquire renewable energy certificates in a strategic manner, helps with building new renewable energy facilities. But a virtual power purchase agreement is not actually physical delivery of power at the site. But it can achieve a couple of co-benefits simultaneously, which is helping a data center achieve their renewables targets while essentially using traditional grid interconnection and utilities to provide the physical power to the actual sites 24/7.
Interesting. Do you envision that some of these data center companies are gonna, employ like active RFPs for renewable energy, or is it maybe the case of just working more with utilities? Since they are large consumers of energy, right? Within the different service territories. How do you see that market?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, it's really an all hands on deck approach. In many utility territories, there are quite viable green tariffs and other renewable energy options for companies like data centers and other organizations to elect to join. I think data centers in particular have a great opportunity to actually influence these utilities into creating and offering renewable energy or low carbon solutions. And we do, there are many, many programs out there where essentially a data center says, "Hey, we'd like to build a new data center in your utility territory. It will, provide significant real estate, taxable base, and other employment opportunities. But in order for us to commit to your territory, X, Y, and Z utility, we need a renewable energy or a green energy or a low carbon energy option in order to make the decision to build there." That's a common thread, and that's actually an opportunity that data centers can really support the decarbonization of the grid by requiring those options. So we're seeing that across the board, and many utilities are offering very viable, quite attractive solutions to meet that demand of the data centers. Then, of course, there are areas of the country and of the world that maybe don't have a viable renewable energy solution that is provided by a utility company, whether it's from a regulatory perspective not available, from an economic perspective, the economics don't make sense or otherwise. And there are voluntary programs that many data centers lead in electing to do. So I mentioned the virtual power purchase agreement structure. That's a voluntary action a data center can make to procure renewables and support the development and the growth of low carbon resources like renewable electricity while still procuring traditional power from the utility, if in that instance, in my example, there isn't a green option from this specific utility. So both voluntary actions can be taken, like I just mentioned, and there can be actions in close collaboration with utility companies and load serving entities. So we're seeing really, again, all hands on deck approach to match the renewable energy and decarbonization demands of the data center sector, among others.
Great. Thanks for that. So let's talk about the tax transfer market. And I'll preface that with switching gears. Let's talk about the tax transfer market. There, it's really heated up quite considerably, I think, since the beginning of the year. We've observed certainly on our own, tax equity bridge loans connected to tax equity commitments, or maybe it comes later for projects. And then you're even seeing older, developer or IPPs with operating solar and wind farms monetizing tax equity through transferability or otherwise. So wanted to first of all take a broader swing at this. Where do you see a lot of the demand coming from? And do you believe there's going to be some kind of like limit to how much is going to be absorbed here. And I guess I'm prefacing this by saying projects are getting big, they're getting more complex. If you saw the news in offshore wind in the last 48 hours, like an industry thought dead about, 6 months ago is now well and alive. Projects are in the market for finance. They're going to soak up a lot of capacity, but then other technology types could be also in the mix as well. So there's different technology types, there's bigger projects, there's a lot of people looking for tax equity, you'd think, in the next few years. So just trying to get a sense about where you see where the demand is coming from, and if you think there's a limit here.
Yeah, so great question and topic to bring up. And I wouldn't say it's completely disconnected from the data center conversation,
No, not at
as
all.
really it
Yeah.
relates to fundamentally the Inflation Reduction Act, right, for the United States, and the quite heavy lifting that IRA or the IRA does, which is it creates, an incentive for north of $300 billion to I've heard estimates above 500 to even $1 trillion of incentives for the clean energy transition in the US over the next 10 years. And much of those incentives are provided through tax credits. And prior to the IRA passing, tax credits are not new. They've been supporting things like wind and solar and other types of economic development actually for decades, since the 90s and into the 2000s for many, many, many years. So tax credits are not new. But what is new after IRA is that tax credits are transferable for the first time ever. And what that really means is that it offers an opportunity for new investors to enter into the market to support the clean energy transition in the US, where previously the only mechanism really for that would have been tax equity. And without getting into specifics on tax equity versus transferability, suffice it to say that transferability is way more palatable for organizations across the spectrum of corporations versus tax equity. So what this is going to do is significantly increase investments into clean energy technologies via transferability than really ever before. So historically speaking, the tax equity market was about, in the last few years, $20 to $23, $24 billion annually. Well, in order to actually realize the potential of the Inflation Reduction Act, that 500 billion plus amount of incentives, that market needs to double or triple on an annual basis, or even quadruple to $80 billion, $90 billion a year over the next 10 years. That's only going to be achieved via transferability, via companies coming in and actually purchasing tax credits from wind farms, solar farms, green hydrogen, renewable natural gas projects, carbon sequestration, and so on. All these technologies that have tax credits, they need buyers to monetize those tax credits. And that's exactly what transferability provides an opportunity for, which did not exist 18 months ago, previous to the Inflation Reduction Act. So we're extremely excited about it. What it really means is that dozens, if not hundreds, of our clients, including Schneider Electric ourselves, and many, many, many of our clients, are able to invest via tax credit transferability, help the clean energy transition, and actually allow for specific opportunities for decarbonization for themselves, alongside. So it's a super exciting time, to be in the market.
You guys had recently structured a tax credit transfer agreement with ANGI on a portfolio of utility scale solar. Was there wind in there too, or was it just solar storage?
So two solar projects and two energy storage projects,
Got
battery
it.
storage. Yep.
Okay. Can you maybe just provide a little context behind that agreement and sort of the strategy behind it?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to share about this transaction because it's really the first of its kind. At a high level, so Schneider Electric, in our own right, we're a large corporation. We have a lot of factories and offices and facilities across many countries across the world. In the United States and globally, we also ourselves have decarbonization and renewable energy goals. Through this transaction, Schneider was able to invest via tax credit transferability in a portfolio of clean energy projects, like we mentioned, two storage projects and two solar projects in Texas that contribute to the decarbonization of the Texas grid. And simultaneously, Schneider is able to achieve our 100% renewable energy target through that transaction, not only for today, but through 2034. So it's actually a long-term renewable energy contract that sets Schneider up for our North American facilities to 100% renewable electricity for the next 10 years, while saving money via investing in the projects vis-a-vis the tax credit transfer opportunity. So this is really the first ever project of its type that's been announced. We feel it's very important to demonstrate how these tax credit transfers can be structured. And because, you know, we're a major advisor helping other corporations as well understand tax credits, tax credit investing, tax equity, and tax credit transferability. Transferability is new, so there are risks to navigate. There's structural maturity in the market that's happening in real time. And so can't be more excited to present this as a case study, you know, to the market on, hey, here's how this can be done. Here's how you can achieve, you know, significant financial returns in making an investment and simultaneously decarbonize with a structure utilizing tax credit transfers and a long-term renewable energy contract as part of it. So super proud of that transaction and all the internal and external partners that we had to make it happen.
Was that an ITC?
That's right. Yep. So from a tax credit perspective, it's an investment tax credit. So it was the ITC is made available to projects at one moment in time, at what's called their place in service date. And so we were able to invest for 2024, for place in service in 2024, but then simultaneously and separately structure a 10-year renewable energy contract, as part of that.
And did those projects carry any adders associated with that as well, or?
No adders in this transaction. Nope, but we are evaluating other transactions. We've actually done a few other transactions as well at Schneider, and on behalf of many of our clients, a lot of transactions we're evaluating and looking at have certain adders, including some of the newer ones made available under the Inflation Reduction Act, energy community, domestic content, and so on. So a big part of the puzzle. And that's part of actually what's new. I mentioned earlier needing to sort of due diligence and understanding, you know, the risks of these transactions. Certainly some of the newer adders that didn't exist for the last couple of decades are important to evaluate closely and work with, you know, internal and external counsel and stakeholders to understand, you know, whether or not projects are truly eligible for those new adders.
And I guess lastly, are there any other transactions that you guys have been involved in? You know, what can we expect from corporate investors in the next year or so?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, we've actually structured another transaction, an advanced manufacturing 45X transaction at Schneider, which we haven't announced publicly. So once there's a press release and we can speak more specifically about that, we're looking forward to doing so. And we have many, many other clients that are going to be announcing transactions likely in the next quarter or two. So a lot more to come. Transferability really has been a way for many, many more investors to get involved in this space that historically weren't able to structure, you know, tax equity investments. So I think the floodgates are just opening. It's a nascent market. There's been a handful of deals announced publicly, you know, from Schneider and other counterparties out there, but I think that's going to increase significantly in the next few quarters here in 2024 and beyond for sure.
And I guess one last question, building on this, building on the you've announced and other deals that you're in. Any observations you can make right now about the pricing transparency in these deals? You know, how it's looking so far?
Yeah, absolutely. It's still a nascent market. I think importantly, not all tax credits are created equal, right? So what's really important, you know, to consider when looking at tax credit deals via transferability is certainly the seller, the experience of the seller, the technology type, eligibility or not for some of those adders I just mentioned, and so on. Is it an ITC? What are the risks of ITC, including ITC recapture risk? What are the risks of of PTCs, production tax credits, and production risks and other risks of these transactions. So not all these tax credits are created equal, but we are seeing the market really materialize. I would say for quality tax credits that, you know, Schneider would, you know, help our clients underwrite, we're looking for sellers that have a track record and can stand behind and back the transactions, and buyers to really face, you know, as much, you know, as little risk as possible in the transactions. Now, these all deals will have some risk from a tax risk perspective and so on, but we want to make sure that they're mitigated to the greatest extent possible. Long-winded way to say pricing for quality credits is going to be in that high 80 cents per dollar to mid 90 cents per dollar. Again, ranging on, you know, PTCs might, you know, same year PTCs might trade at a slight premium to, you know, ITCs, and long-dated PTCs might trade at a slight discount. And then again, based on the risks of the transaction, is there insurance? Is there not insurance? What are the indemnities or protections from the seller? And other factors, as I mentioned, that's going to dictate kind of where pricing shakes out ultimately.
Great. Well, that's about all the time we have for this program. But I feel like me and Hans could be talking for another 3 or 4 hours at this point about some of these different technologies and stuff. So, really good talk, Hans. Thank you so much for your time today.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, John.
And please tune in next time. Perk out.